Nick Maton, the batter. He's 0 for 1. A walk and a strikeout tonight. The pitch. Maton swings, lines it to right, coming on for it, and it goes under the glove of Ward, and now goes all the way to the wall. JT around third. He's going to come home and score, and around to third goes Maton. As Ward came in, tried to lean over and make the catch. He didn't. It gets under his glove, and it's another run home to the Phillies and an 8-0 Phillies lead.
It was last night when everything went perfectly and the Phils win it 10-0, although I guess Maton did get hurt later. Todd Zalecki, our friend from MLB.com, joins us. Todd, any update on Maton early this morning?
Not this morning, but he got an x-ray yesterday after the game. They called it a right shoulder sprain with an SP sprain. He's going to get a MRI today, but he had difficulty raising his shoulder, his arm over his head last night, just getting dressed and just, nice. You know, just moving in general. So he landed on it pretty good. Now, he said he did not feel pop or anything like that, but I mean, I would be surprised if he's back out there tonight.
All right, well, let's talk about the manager. Rob Thompson was asked yesterday, I think you asked the question, how he will be different from Joe Girardi, and maybe he gave a little hint or two, but you've been around this club and you've seen him since, 2018, I believe, as the bench coach. How do you think he might be different?
Well, I think the big thing, and that's why I asked that question, because I said, do you pitch Corey Knebel on that Tuesday in Atlanta? Because that was, to me, a huge, huge loss. You know, Bryce Harper hits that home run. You're about to steal a game in Atlanta. Win the first two games of that four-game series, and then you're very rigid in how you use your closer who wants to pitch, and then you don't pitch him, and then you lose. So the fact that he says, it's June, I'm definitely open to it. And, so I think in that sense, he's going to be more open to kind of going for the jugular there, I understand if it's early in the season and the team is playing well, maybe you protect Corey Knebel at that time. But when things are going bad, I think you have to go for it. So I think Rob is going to be more open to that. The other difference I thought, which was interesting, is, and Dave alluded to this, and Rob talked about this a little bit as well, that he's really going to make a point to go through the clubhouse often and talk to the players often. I saw that a lot with Charlie Manuel when he was here. He was always in the clubhouse, walking through, come up to guys. And even just a dumb comment, a silly comment, yep. Charlie was in there a lot. Didn't see it a lot with Joe. Now, in fairness, wasn't in the clubhouse the last 2 years with Joe, so I don't know how often he was in there. But this year, the times I was in there this year, and then spring training as well, didn't see him in there a lot. So maybe he's going to try to make more of a connection with the guys. Not saying that there was a clubhouse problem, so to speak, but maybe just be a little bit more in tune with the players, what they want, what they like, what they don't like. Rob said as much yesterday.
Todd, I know it's more difficult for you, as you just noted. You're not in the clubhouse the way you used to be. So I know that's where you used to be able to judge stuff like vibe, like feeling, like emotion. And you got to wait till the game starts and then be able to judge from that. Well, 10-0, pretty good first vibe and emotion for the team. How do you go about judging that? Can you get a feel? I know you're allowed on the field before the game, which isn't the same as being in the clubhouse. How do you get the feeling over the next, couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months that the vibe on the Phillies has improved?
Yeah, so, we are fortunately now we're back in there a little bit pregame and obviously postgame. Now we can go back in there. So we get that little snapshot of what it's like. There was more energy yesterday, but in talking to the players postgame, they won 10-0. And I've always been a believer, guys, that Charlie Manuel said this all the time. Anytime they went through a dead stretch offensively, we would go, man, you guys look like you're flat. Looks like you guys have no energy. He goes, yeah, we have nobody on base. Of course you're going to look like you're flat and have no energy. So I feel like there was some of that there. The offense wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, so the team looked flat. But I think the change that was made could motivate these guys a little bit, maybe snap them out of the funk. I asked Nick Castellanos that. I said, do you think this could serve as a kick in the butt for you guys? And he said, yeah, I hope so, because a guy just lost his job. And so that tells us that things aren't going well. They knew things weren't going well, but now because of their play, a guy lost his job. So I think that can maybe be provide a potential spark. I don't know how long it lasts, but you know, it could provide a little bit of a spark going into a schedule that really kind of eases up the next couple of weeks.
We're talking to Todd Zielecki of MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter at Todd Zielecki. And I'm asking you to interpret, right? A lawyer would tell me that I'm not allowed to do this, but do you think they feel bad that they cost him his job? Do they care that they cost him his job?
Yeah, I do. I do. This wasn't a situation where they were chomping at the bit to get Joe out of there, and they're like, oh my gosh, thank God. Now we can finally relax and play like the way we're capable for playing. Like, you know, I've covered, you know, managers where players griped a lot. And I didn't get that sense from Joe. So, you know, I think...
Yeah, but that sounds neutral. Like, okay, we didn't hate
right,
him. But right. But
I think they definitely respected him as a baseball guy. I think they liked him. But I wrote this a little bit yesterday. Joe was not going to be confused for Charlie. Like I said, like he wasn't a hangout, joke around, chit-chat, pat a guy in the back, you know, make again, like Charlie was great with just silly jokes. And I know people are going to like, what does that have to do with it? But just that connecting aspect of it.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe had that. Joe does not have that type of personality. He didn't have that type of personality with us. I mean, not that that matters, but Charlie could just sit there and talk to you and tell a hilarious story. Joe really wasn't that guy. Joe was all business. So in that sense, maybe it loosens these guys up.
Todd, Glenn asked me first segment today, is this a change for change's sake, or are they still actually very much in this thing? Well, the standings say they are. They're only three games out of that third wild card spot. Dombrowski pulled the plug on Girardi yesterday. We'll see if there are early returns with Rob Thompson. But this team needs to do more, and there is a glaring hole in center field. Is that Dombrowski's next step? He took a shot with the manager, and we'll see what Rob Thompson can deliver. Are the Phillies going to double down and be aggressive and try and fill a major hole like center field?
Well, you know, I think it depends how they come out of these next few weeks. You know, they play these next two against the Angels, then they go to Milwaukee, which is a very good team. But then after that, I think, like, they play 13 games in a row against losing teams, bad teams. So if they get on a roll there, and now all of a sudden they're a little bit closer to the Giants, even if they're not at 500, because they are buried pretty deep. You'd have to go on a heck of a run to pull out of, you know, to get over 500 in a couple weeks. But I think if they start showing some life, the offense starts rounding into shape, then I think you could see Dave sit there and go, okay, how can we address our deficiencies, which, you know, they have a lot of them. One of them possibly being center field. One of them being the bullpen, you know, so they have some maneuvers to do, but they have to prove it. They have to go out and prove it.
All right. One of them being center field, one of them being the bullpen. Todd, we've been talking now for a few years. I believe that exact sentence has come up in every one of those conversations over the last however many years, which gets me to a point. Jim Salisbury asked a really good question yesterday at the news conference of Dave Dombrowski, and he said, is this problem systemic? They drafted three outfielders in the first round, and none have made it, which is why they need to sign those free agents. The last four managers have all been under 500. None of them made the playoffs, so maybe the issue more than the manager is scouting and development. I mean, I hope Moniak makes it, but... It's a hope and a prayer. They've been through the parade of center fielders already this year. You know, we're seeing Odubel. Is the Phillies problem, this is the easiest question you'll get asked this week, is the Phillies problem one of they're hiring the wrong managers or they have a systemic problem?
I think it's a systemic problem, and I think it's easy to, somebody has to take the fall, so it had to be Joe Girardi. Just like it had to be Gabe Kapler. Then what happens? Gabe Kapler goes to San Francisco with a really well front office that has drafted and developed players well, and he wins 107 games last year. I don't think Gabe just suddenly became a good manager, just like I don't think Terry Francona suddenly became a good manager once he got to the Red Sox. He joined an organization that was just better positioned to win. I think a lot of this problem, and I've been listening I listen all the time to WIP, and I hear a lot of people say, it's John Middleton. Is it, it's Dave Dombrowski. And, for constructing this roster. It's Joe Girardi. It's, you know, it's Rhys Hoskins, whatever, right? To me, this all goes back to Andy McPhail and the rebuild that he bungled beginning in 2015. He really set this organization back. When Ruben lost his job, when Andy took over, I'm telling you, every person in baseball said, now that's a team I would like to be a GM for. I mean, the Phillies are at the beginning of a rebuild, so they're going to have a ton of high draft picks. And then you know John Middleton's going to spend a boatload of money to kind of fill in the gaps wherever they may be. Now, that's the best job in baseball right now. Phillies GM. Well, Andy McPhail hires Matt Klentak, and then he basically takes his hand off the wheel and just lets this thing kind of run aground. And so they don't draft well. They don't develop well. They don't do a great job making trades, signing free agents, Sands, you know, Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, et cetera. And now Dave Dombrowski comes in, and he's looking around going, like, where do I start? So I think there's a lot of that. Like, he only has so much money and only so many moves he can make because he has such a bad farm system to deal with. And so that's why I think they're in this bad position that they are, is because they really messed up that rebuild beginning in 2015 with Andy McPhail.
All right, Todd, let me get real narrow focused with you. One player who kind of fits into what you were just discussing. They signed Francisco Morales as a very young pitcher. Develop him, bring him through the system, 5 years in the minor leagues, gets off to a really good start at Reading, issues in the bullpen. They kind of force feed him up to the big leagues. He pitches a game in Seattle where he looks like a killer. The slider is just blowing people away, three strikeouts in two innings. He gets into a second game against the Dodgers. Did hold on and get the save, even though he walked three guys. But he did get the last out, which was necessary, and then he's gone. They just sent him out. They had to clear a roster spot to get Eflin back from the COVID list. He's back down in the minor leagues. I've seen enough of Connor Brogdon. I've seen enough of Norwood. Why isn't this kid in the big leagues right now?
Great question. I could not agree with you more. Morales he has the potential to be a big time relief pitcher. And for me, I've seen, you know, enough of James Norwood to say, let's give Morales a shot. You know, he's got a wipeout slider. He's got a good fastball. I think he is a future late inning reliever type of guy, maybe even better than that. And so, yeah, I'm in 100% agreement. When things aren't going well, you know, he had a little bit of command issues that game in LA, but you know, it was his second big league appearance. So, you know, in Reading this season, he has struck out a boatload of hitters, and he hasn't really walked that many. He's been pretty good with his command. So I say bring him up, and hopefully sooner rather than later.
All right, Todd, I was unaware of this, but Andy McPhail is on line 4. He had something he wanted to say to you.
If we don't, we don't.
Exactly right. I mean, that,
yep.
You know, I think people forget about, listen, like, you know, Dave Dombrowski, you know, he signed a couple corner outfielders that are really DHs. You know, the defense is a huge issue. It's been an issue like that for 10 years. But you have to remember, you know, I'm not excusing him or anything like that. You know, they have to do a better job with roster construction, but they really set back the organization a long time with the way they drafted and developed talent and the way they made trades and all that stuff.
All right, last question, because as you know, you can pretty much now bet almost anything, any kind of futures you want. I want to take all my money and I want to go bet online as to who is the next Phillies manager. Todd Zielecki, I trust your judgment on all of these things. Who is, I assume that, you know, the rest of the year we get Thompson. Who is the Phillies manager on opening day 2023?
Oh, man, that is a fantastic question. And I have not, I would really have to think about that, Glenn. And I don't have an answer for you right now.
You're deferring on me.
I'm going to defer on you. I really couldn't say who that might be coming up through the ranks. You know, it could be like a hot bench coach of that. Teams always seem to poach guys like that. Maybe, hey, you know what? Somebody asked me this yesterday. If the Phillies play well and they make the playoffs, it's obviously going to be Rob Thompson. But what if they play well enough to come close? maybe they give Rob Thompson another shot. It'll be interesting
right,
to see.
I guess that's what I'll bet my money on. All right. Todd Zielecki, thank you so much. By the way, Todd is the author of the terrific best-selling biography, Doc, The Life of Roy Halladay. I read it and thought it was terrific. Todd, seems like Father's Day's coming up. Might be a good gift.
Absolutely, yeah. You can go to buytoddzielecki.com. I'll even sign it and send it to you and personalize it for your dad.
There you go. Todd, great stuff. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, there you go. Todd Zielecki. Jody, your takeaway?
I'm with him. I understand, as fans, we always want to be looking at the big picture and looking down the road. Let's see if Rob Thompson can get to 2-0 before we start to figure out who's going to be the Phillies manager in 2023.
I just, you know, got to throw that in there. I know.
Because that's what the fans want to know. It's a very good question because we're playing for the fans, but maybe it's because I am rooting for Rob Thompson as wholeheartedly as I am. I want to be able to root for him and go, yeah, he's going to be the manager for more than just 110 games or whatever the Phillies got left this year.
By the way, when you looked at him yesterday, you watched the thing, you watched it on TV, or you've seen him before.
Sure.
I saw this a little bit, and then some people we know started talking about this on social media. Old-time actor that you would know that he looks like.
Really?
Yeah, you want to take a look at him during the break? Study the picture?
Yeah, nothing popped up to me. The only thing that popped up to me was, and as I mentioned, I talked to my father yesterday because he's a Robbie guy and knows him well and wanted to talk about what he could do for the Phillies and everything else. I asked him, was his nickname always Topper? Because Dombrowski called him that like three times.
Yeah, I never heard that, yeah.
I had never heard that either, so I thought maybe my father knew. He said, Topper, what are you talking about? I said, well, Dombrowski called him Topper three times. He goes, I didn't hear that. I watched the press conference. I said, Dad, at least I can, I know what I heard. So he asks Virginia, my stepmom, and she goes, oh, yeah, they called him Topper three times. And my father goes, I guess my hearing is going. I'm not hearing what I used to hear. Topper?
Yeah, that I didn't know. I also, several people reached out to me and thought he was the second baseman from the Giants back in the 90s, and he's not that Robbie Thompson.
Oh, different Robbie Thompson, yes.
Right.
No relation.
Right. But do me a favor. Take a look during the break and see if he looks like anybody. And if anybody sees it, I'll invite you to call in. 215-592-9494. Might be a bit of a stretch, but it ran through my mind, and then on social media I saw it a lot, so I thought, yeah, maybe he
does. All right. I'll give a peek.
All right, 215-592-9494. And coming up is one of my favorite features that I started doing with Ray, and I have Ray's blessing to continue with what we're watching. And the great thing this week is you and I are watching the same series.
Yes.
We'll compare notes.
You tuned me onto it. I didn't know it. We spoke earlier in the week, and I think I've officially moved ahead of you watching more episodes. Just means I got more time in the middle of my days than you do.
I don't know. 215-592-9494. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now, Saturday morning on 94 WIP.